I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The sun may have set over our city this evening, but as Eugene Debs once said, I can see the dawn of a better day for humanity. For as long as we can remember, the working people of New York have been told by the wealthy and the well-connected that power does not belong in their hands. Fingers bruised from lifting boxes on the warehouse floor, palms calloused from delivery bike handlebars, knuckles scarred with kitchen burns. These are not hands that have been allowed to hold power. And yet, over the last 12 months, you have dared to reach for something greater. Tonight, against all odds, we have grasped it.
Zoran Mandani and his acceptance speech last night in New York City. And every job he just listed, delivering food on a bicycle or doing things with your hands, he has never done a single job on his own. He worked for his mama one time, but that's it. And then became a councilman and has now been lifted to the top of the lead of the nation's largest city. Listen to what I'm going to say here. Listen very carefully. Are you listening? All right. New York City elected a mommy when they need a daddy that's going to come in and whoop some tail and get things back in order. Mommy's going to continue to give out all the gift bags and the ice cream and the cake and everything else. That's what they got. They're not going to get someone come in and really clean up the crime and make the city safer again and more inviting. They got a mommy that's just going to let the kids run wild. They elected a mommy, not a daddy. We got a lot to cover today, as you would imagine. First hour, Larry Connors, USA, November 5, 2025. I will point out it's day 36 of the shutdown. We will be dealing with that a little bit later. And, of course, there were other elections that were important last night for Republicans and Democrats. California approved Proposition 50. That's why Nancy Pelosi is saying she still wanted to be in the running right now to help push that over the line. That might add five Democrat House seats. And Jay Jones elected Attorney General, despite the guy that said, one of my political opponents, I'd like to put two bullets in his head and kill his children and have them die in their mother's laps. This is the kind of the left that they have endorsed and now brought inside, in addition to mommy. And Bernie Sanders is saying, we need to take as a party Democrats. He's not Democrat. He's independent. But he's putting himself in that position. Democrats need to take Zoran's message and spread it all over the nation. It would be like fertilizer. And it would smell like it. But there would be stuff that would grow that we don't want in this nation. In our next hour, who did vote for Mandani? You're going to have a demographic breakdown, both minority race, male, female. I've got an expert coming on board to break that down for you. And later this hour, John LeBoot, former New York congressman, lives in Long Island. Of course, that's a New York City area, but whether or not he was in an area that got to vote for New York City mayor, I'm not sure he did, but we'll come to that later. But we'll get his take on the mommy's victory. and a caller left a message on our voicemail system chastising me for some remarks I said yesterday regarding Muslims. You might agree or you might not. That'll be coming up later. And plus, our new feature, The Story Behind the Story. Today we're going to do something a little softer, more personal. The story of a young boy who became a cowboy and then a bull rider. That's right, that would be me. Maybe that's why I'm kind of knocked around in the head, been kicked a few times. That'll be our story behind the story coming up later. But right now, Mondomini is, of course, the New York City mayor, and he said, we really have destroyed a dynasty.
The future is in our hands. My friends, we have toppled a political dynasty.
Yeah, it is a mandate for change. And yeah, they did throw Andrew Cuomo out with the dishwater and everything else. We're going to break this down in more detail because, as you know, with Larry Connors USA, you always are going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to know more by the time we finish this hour than you do right now. And reminding you, while we're on the air right now, you can watch the program. We're streaming video. You go to newsroom, newstalkstl.com. You go to Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Newstalk STL Rumble, Larry Connors Rumble. You'll find us and you can watch the program. If you miss anything, they go up later as a podcast. And today's program, if you miss any part of it, you're going to want to pull up a podcast from whatever source you want. Larry Connors USA. You search there and you're going to find it. Now, before the vote was tallied last night, although everything was written on the wall before the vote, the polling closed, Ron DeSantis was talking about Mondani and what was going to happen next.
I mean, this is a guy who does embrace Marxist economics. He claims he's going to lower everyone's costs by having the government run grocery stores. And the only people that would think that would work are people who have never studied a lick of history. He's also somebody that after 9/11, he said how bad it was that his aunt was on a subway and got dirty looks. He never expressed the sympathy in that regard that for all the people that got murdered. He's also embraced George Soros style soft on crime policies. He hates the NYPD, if you look at his history. He is not going to stand up for law enforcement. And what I found on all this, Sean, is yes, his tax policy is going to be crazy, anti-business, all that. But the number one thing that moves people to want to flee these jurisdictions is the collapse of public safety. And I think he's going to make the de Blasio reign look like the golden age.
Yeah, that's very possible. I've got a piece I'm going to share with you later. It's an opinion piece written by Lee Harley Carter for Fox News and saying why Mondani won, one summation statement. And that is, he captured something every politician should be listening to right now, a deep frustration the system doesn't feel fair anymore. Well, we've all felt that. But my God, going off the cliff is not the right idea. But Mondani will be taking the oath.
On January 1st, I will be sworn in as the mayor of New York City. And that is because of you. So before I say anything else, you. Thank you to the next generation of New Yorkers who refuse to accept that the promise of a better future was a relic of the past. You showed that when politics speaks to you without condescension, we can usher in a new era of leadership. We will fight for you because we are you.
Yeah, but then again, I'm not sure you are. And I don't really think you are the typical New Yorker. 6 months from now will be a gauge that I will hold against where we stand right now in New York City. If Mondani serves the entire 4 years, my God, what could happen to that city? It will be the great escape from New York City. One listener called yesterday and left a voicemail admonishing me for some remarks I made yesterday. Now, I want you to hear the full message. They did not leave a name, but I want you to listen to the message. And do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, this message is for Larry Connors. Larry, I overheard you say a couple different times that there's some good Muslims out there. Well, no, there's not. I lived in Israel for 2 years, and it is any Israeli soldier over there will tell you, or Israeli resident will tell you, the only good Muslim's a dead Muslim. The Muslims have love in their, they have love in their eyes and hate in their hearts. That's every Israeli knows this. And now we're seeing this nutcase run in New York. They're all communists, the majority of them. They hate America with a passion. They're here to take over. They have babies like maggots. And they're going to make New York their home base. Then they're going to bring in Sharia law. They're going to have Sharia courts. They spread like the plague or like the a bad case of mold. They're going to take this country over. And the stupid white people in America, they get what, and the Christians in America, they get what they deserve. I can't believe how stupid we are for letting these Muslims into the country, give them the right to work, give them a free education. Then we let them run for political office. I mean, this is nuts. So, like I said, America's pretty much done, and you can see it coming. And it's really, really sad because a stupid white man in America, or it's got to be like the dumbest people that ever walked the face of the earth.
Now, the man is entitled to his opinion, and I don't totally disagree with it. I don't totally agree with it. What about you? This came out of a remark I made that, yes, not all Muslims are bent on destroying America and other people of other religions. He says they are. He's entitled to his opinion. There are 2 billion Muslims across the face of the earth. There are 2.6 billion listing themselves as Christians. Muslims are occupying 53 nations, mostly in the Middle East, Asia, Central, and Southeast, also Africa, North and West Africa. And in fact, there is only one place where you do not find a Muslim resident. Only one place, one country. And yes, it stands as a country. It's its own state. Vatican City. That's the only place where you do not find one. But yes, I have Muslims I know as friends, and they do not care for Sharia law, much less wanting to kill everyone that disagrees with their religion. I will also point out to you, I know some Christians, and I'm a Christian, and I'm a sinner, and I'm guilty of many sins, but I put all my faith in Jesus Christ saving me. But I do know some Christians who would express that same thought, and yet they hate other people of color. I mean, they hate them. They think they should stay in their own place. Islam is a religion and the way of life. A Muslim is a follower of that faith. And Islam refers to the entire religious system, the Quran with its beliefs and practices. Islam means submission to the will of God. Christian means submission to Christ. Core tenets for the Islam religion, the oneness of God, Allah, prophets, the Quran. Now, Muslim is a person, again, who follows the religion of Islam. And Muslims strive to obey and please Allah in all aspects of their life, as we should as Christians. Although I often fall short. I'll be the first to admit I fall short. But I'm looking through some of this stuff and sharing with you. As I mentioned how many Muslims are across the world, they're not all in the Middle East, as you heard, and they're also in Africa. But most Muslim nations do not follow Sharia law. They do not follow it at all, or they follow it in various ways. They do not have strict adherence, as they do as in Iran, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia. Many have a hybrid system. They use Sharia law to inform or complement secular laws. In a large number of them, Sharia law influences specific areas of law, most commonly family law. Egypt and Jordan. Sharia is a primary source for law, but its application largely limited to family and personal status matters. Indonesia, Sharia law applied selectively in certain regions governing criminal matters. We do not want Sharia courts in our nation. Now, they're already doing it in obviously some states like Minnesota where they're putting in Sharia courts. But how much are going to be beholden to our Constitution? That'll be a battle yet to be waged. But I can't stress enough, and we'll spend more time on this in the next hour. I can't stress enough, just because someone is a Muslim, they are not your enemy. Now, they may consider if you're not a Muslim, you are the enemy because you don't follow their law. As I've always said, not every Muslim is a jihadist wanting to destroy everyone of other faith. Every jihadist is a Muslim. You really need to keep that distinction in mind. Just not like every Christian is a law-abiding citizen that has love for everyone, at least to the best they can. Many don't. We'll get into that in more detail as we move through the next 2 hours. Next hour, a former FBI agent on his view on Muslims. And coming up next, John LeBoot from New York. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
In all these years that Wellington Environmental has been my sponsor, I've never mentioned their duct cleaning services. Allergy season is here, and Wellington crews clean air ducts daily in homes and commercial buildings, also cleaning air handling units and diffusers in commercial facilities. Why? Well, because people will see black dirt and mold on the vents, or they are actually suffering from allergies. Don't be fooled by low-cost duct cleaning providers saying they charge only per vent, because once they get on site, the price will skyrocket. Wellington does not do this, never has. Wellington will give you an estimate, and you say Larry Connors, and immediately you get a 20% discount. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 314-644-4930. 4930. Make your home and business better, safer with Wellington. Be well with Wellington. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. And John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. The offer St. Louis cannot stop talking about being held over due to popular demand. Right now, renewal by Anderson. Buy any window or door, get the next one 50% off. Plus, you could qualify for zero interest, no payments for 18 months. Renewal by Anderson is the full-service window and door replacement division of Anderson. You've trusted that name for more than 122 years. And our exclusive FiberX frames, 200% stronger than vinyl. Anderson products are also proven to increase your home value by at least 15%. Don't miss out. Schedule your complimentary consultation today at rbastl.com or call 877-WINDLES, 877-WINDLES. Renewal by Anderson. Award-winning quality, stronger windows, smarter investment.
This is News Talk STL.
And it's Bear, Bear, Leroy Brown, the baddest man in the whole damn town. Better than old King Kong, meaner than a junk.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, I had booked him last week, actually, and I let him know, look, you know, I'm going to want to talk to you the day after the New York City mayoral election. John LeBoutier, former New York congressman, author of the book Harvard Hates America. He is a Reaganite, an anti-Trumper. And at this point, John, I'm not going to ask if you voted for Mondani. I'm going to ask how many times did you vote for him?
Well, I'm not in New York.
I know. I knew you were going to get. I knew you were going to use that excuse. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I'm a resident of Nassau County.
Right.
However, when I was in Congress, my district was half in Nassau County, which is not New York City,
right,
and half in Queens, which actually 52% of my district,
yeah,
was in Queens, which is one of New York's five boroughs. So I was, in effect, a New York City Republican congressman. And that area where I represented is still a votes Republican and voted for Curtis Sliwa yesterday. But Mondani, I knew he was going to win when he won the primary. He was going to win. Mm-hmm. And I saw the breakdown, Larry, today of, get this, voters 30 and younger, 30 yeah, and under, 79% of them voted for Mondani. I mean, I've never heard a number like that. 79%, that's 8 out of 10 people voted for him in that young age group. And why is that? Because those young people can't buy a house, hardly can make rent. Life is difficult financially in a big city like New York and everywhere else in the country, but especially in big metropolitan areas. And so they spell themselves out to this guy who promises them, don't worry, we're going to have city-run cheap grocery stores, free buses, rent freezes, all this stuff, most of which he cannot do. He does not have the power to do most of the things he has talked about. They're going to find that out next year.
John, I began this hour, and I'm going to repeat it again for you since you probably were not able to hear at that point. The New York City elected a mommy when they needed a daddy to get on there and whip some butt and get the city back in line.
Yeah, that's a good line. I mean, I don't know how to get the city back in line. I think when Rudy Giuliani was mayor, he shaped up the crime and dirt of New York City, right? And then Bloomberg got in, running, by the way, as a Republican, even though he's not.
Right.
And he did a great job on the finances of New York City.
And then here came
de Blasio. Once New York City, well, hold on. So once New York City was in good shape, financially and crime-wise, what do the voters do? They elect de Blasio,
yeah,
another lefty nutbag who screws the whole thing up all over again. And here we go, you know. And so they're going to have to, the voters in New York City are going to have maybe a bad time with this guy for 4 years before they do something and elect a conservative Democrat or a Republican is what they need here.
Do you not think even in 6 months' time they're going to realize, ooh, we made a mistake?
Yeah.
Or do they actually believe we'll still get all of this? We just need to last it out.
I don't know. I mean, first thing he's got to decide, one of the first things, is whether to keep the current police commissioner,
right,
who is very, very popular, Jessica Tisch,
right,
and has done a fantastic job. If he keeps her, that's a signal that he's not going, none of this nonsense about defunding the police or all that, which he has said he's no longer in favor of that, but actions will tell us. That's the first action, right? Then if he tries to raise taxes on millionaires, which he's talked about,
yep,
he doesn't raise the taxes. It has to be Albany. The state government raises taxes. And I don't know if they'll do it or not. We'll see.
I do understand
that. He doesn't run the buses and the subways. That's run by the Metropolitan Transportation Authority, which is run by the governor. So his power is a little less than people realize.
He sold them cake and ice cream and candles yet to come and packages yet to be unwrapped. But I agree, there's a lot he cannot deliver. So the appeal to these people was just, gimme, 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 gimme.
Yep. Yeah, freebie, freebie, freebie.
Yeah.
And, you know. And that's another thing that went on. It's another thing, Larry, that went on yesterday, not just in New York, but around the country.
Yeah.
You can see it here is anti-Trump. This thing was a rejection of Donald Trump. And the most opposite of Trump in America is Zohran Mamdani, a Muslim, now 34-year-old radical lefty who's loved by Bernie Sanders and AOC. And he ran up the score because in New York City, they hate Donald Trump.
Now,
in New Jersey and Virginia, they hate him. I mean, Trump played right into their hands.
Trump ended up endorsing Cuomo, but even if Sliwa had Sliwa had stepped out, there still would have only been about 48%, and Mondani still had 50%+.
Right. But, you know, I think, and I thought this all fall along, Cuomo has so much baggage.
Yeah.
And Curtis, as much as I love Curtis Sliwa, he's not a serious candidate. Had there been, let's just say this, let's say you could clone Mike Bloomberg at age 60, and you'd had him running as the only opponent, as an independent, against Mondani, that guy would win easily. A businessman who makes sense, is not a socialist, not an anti-Semite, that guy could have won. But they didn't have that guy. They had very flawed, old, been around the track a million times, Cuomo, and that he was not going to ever beat Mondani. Couldn't beat him in the primary, couldn't beat him in the general.
And looking beyond, New York City, your remarks about Trump acknowledged we had a bad night all around. I mean, every vote they wanted in these states, they lost. But being it was an off year, does that really give you a clear understanding how many folks bothered to go vote anyway in some of these cases? And some were already deep blue to begin with.
Well, you take New Jersey. Now, New Jersey was, when I was growing up, was a swing state. It went blue. And lately, it's sort of come back a little bit to being a little swingy, little purple. And Trump did pretty well against Kamala. He only lost by 6 points last year there. And there was some hope that the Republican, who proclaimed himself 100% MAGA, said Trump is great. That guy, he got smoked yesterday. He got blown out. The Democrat won bigger in New Jersey than the Democrat in Virginia. And they both won by double digits.
So explain to me.
That's a rejection. Yeah.
So explain to me how some of the Democrats, on some of the stuff they'd said and they were running on, such as a Jay Jones for Attorney General of Virginia, can talk about killing his opponent, putting two bullets in his head and killing his children and dumping them into the lap of their mother. Somebody like that can say, that was something I said I shouldn't have said. My bad. They continue to preach this hate. And I know there's those on the right that do the same thing. But why does this appeal, and who are they reaching to appeal on this stuff?
Well, I that guy should never be on the ballot, but he
shouldn't be attorney general.
He was right. So he was nominated before the public knew about those texts from years ago. He then many people said he ought to get out of the race. He didn't. He did win yesterday by a pretty healthy margin.
And it's not just he wouldn't get out, John. It's the people that were endorsing him still. They wouldn't withdraw their endorsements.
Right. And the thing is, though, everywhere, Georgia, Maine, Pennsylvania, the three Supreme Court justices, it was a big day for Democrats yesterday. And why is that? Okay, number one, everywhere still this inflation and cost of living is the underlying rot in the political system that took down Biden and Harris. Trump said, I'll get it fixed on day one. He hasn't. It's now a day year. We're a year in. Hasn't got it fixed. It took out Republicans yesterday. That was number one. Then there's the visuals. Why are we tearing down the White House? Why are we doing that at all? And why are we doing it?
We're not tearing down the White House. He's building a ballroom, which he offered to do for Obama and pay for it out of his own pocket.
Yeah, well, but Obama didn't tear down the East Wing. And I just think, I'm just talking politics.
Well, I agree.
The image of bulldozers and ball things crushing this place right before an election, it looks terrible. All of it is ham-handed politically. The president shouldn't be talking about a ballroom. He should be talking about your living room and having you make more money and have prices go down.
Not disagree with you, but I think he can do both. John, I knew this was going to be a great discussion, as always, with you. I am going to want you back a little sooner than we'd normally schedule you, because there are going to be a lot of things still breaking apart as we move forward. But thank you for your time today, sir.
Thank you very much, Larry. Let's do it ASAP.
Yes, sir. God bless, sir. John is right on target on a lot of those remarks, and I don't agree with all of them, but he is correct. Trump is not tearing down the White House. He's knocked out the East Wing. That bothers me because I have been in the East Wing. My history is wiped out. Well, tough luck, Larry. When we talked about somebody like Bloomberg coming in, when he talked about the age, 60, I qualified, but the rest of it I couldn't qualify. Coming up, our new feature, The Story Behind the Story.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Tom Shaw Realtors has been helping sell, buy, lease property all over Missouri for almost 100 years. Call him, 636-532-1922, or visit shawrealtors.com. You want the best place to watch baseball or any sport and be able to enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys? Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit has so many events each month, you need to constantly check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. You don't want to miss anything. Plus, you can order food from Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, delivered within minutes right to your table. By the way, we're in the season for great patio dining. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta has your table waiting. Listen up. The offer St. Louis can't stop talking about being held over by popular demand. Right now, renewal by Anderson. Buy any window or door, get the next one 50% off. Plus, you might get zero interest, no payments for 18 months. This is Renewal by Anderson, the full-service window and door replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted more than 122 years. Our exclusive FiberX frames, 200% stronger than vinyl. And remember, Anderson products increase your home's value by at least 15%. So make sure you take advantage of the offer while it's still being held over. Schedule your complimentary consultation at rbastl.com. 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS, renewal by Anderson. This is award-winning quality, stronger windows, smarter investment. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life, without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
This is a new feature we've started for this hour, Monday through Friday. You know, we're here for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And I got to thinking, the last segment of the first hour, I think we're going to make it more of a story behind the story. Understanding some stories I have covered and some of the background behind it you were not aware of. And it may be stories I actually covered, I was part of, or someone else did. And it may not even be a news story I was involved in whatsoever, but it makes a very interesting story behind the story. And some do involve just my personal reflections on life and things that happen. It's my program. I can do what I want, right? So the story behind the story today. First of all, I truly wish, and maybe you've had the same thought, every young child should have a chance to spend at least a few months on a farm or a ranch. They would learn so much, and yeah, some of them would realize that no, chocolate milk does not come from black cows. They would actually learn that you have to go out and harvest those eggs. The chickens don't drop them into the little containers you get at the store. And if you go out there and the hen is sitting on that, you've got to get her off. You don't take all the eggs. You leave maybe one or two, but you got to get her off enough to grab her. And if you're a young kid trying to reach in there, they're pecking away at you like crazy. It's kind of frightening. It was for me. But I still had to go do it because my grandma told me, go out there and get me some eggs, boy. Yes, ma'am. And that's another thing. You respond, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, not yep or nope. And same thing with yes, sir, no, sir. I think we would all be better if a lot of kids, especially those in the deep urban areas, had a chance to spend time on a farm or a ranch, getting to know how it operates, how things grow, how much work goes into our land and our dealing with livestock. May not be something for everyone, but at least have that experience. It's an experience no one can take away from you. And I had a grandfather who was on my dad's side, and he had what we called a farm, but it wasn't really a farm. He did not plant nor cultivate any crops. The only crops we had was what grandma put inside some chicken fencing to grow tomatoes, maters, things like that, and cucumbers, which she would gather up, and I'd be out there having to help her, gathering them up, and then she would can them so we would have them later in the season. But granddad's job was overseeing property and cattle, livestock, but mostly cattle, by a man in town that owned the cotton gin. If you own the cotton gin in a town, that's pretty big. You are, quote, in high cotton. Well, every summer we would go to visit my dad's grandparents, and would spend other summers visiting my mother's parents, I should say. And I learned a lot there because Pawpaw and Mamaw, they were more city, but at the same time, they had a place on a lake. And Pawpaw taught me how to run a trot line and catch catfish and deal with blood bait. Ooh, nasty stuff if you've ever been around blood bait. Stink like you know what. You get any of it on your hand, it's going to be with you the rest of the day. I don't care how many times you try to wash it off. But at the farm, as we would call it, with Granddad, we would go from West Texas all the way to East Texas. We're talking about Crockett, Livingston, Tyler area, the great timbers of East Texas. And he had horses. And he would use those, and he would ride and have sometimes someone ride with him to help round up the cattle. Well, when I got old enough, I would say around 12, I really wanted to stay all summer with them. And I wanted to learn to be a cowboy. Learning to rope, ride a horse. Well, I already knew how to ride, but I mean, I didn't know enough to really ride that well. I was probably a lot more trouble than I was worth in the beginning. I will admit that. But his patience made me better. And I got to be a pretty good roper. He shared that slice of his life with me that has stuck with me all these years and the things I learned. But there were some things I apparently didn't get very clear in my head and some other things that became stupid and because of what I did, not because of Granddad. Granddad was the kind to let me sit aside and just figure out my own way. Now, he might tell me I wouldn't do that, and I would take it as permission. Not a good idea. But as I stayed 2-3 summers in a row, I became a pretty good cowboy. I mean, we were roping cattle, yanking them out of the thickets of East Texas, pulling them out, checking them for worms, spraying them down. We had to do that as well at that point. I remember in particular one time riding down into a ravine, really kind of covered over with trees and ivy and everything else, and my horse started getting spooked halfway down the slope. Then I realized the water was moving in all kinds of directions. It's a nest of moccasins in there, water moccasins. That horse was going to get out of that creek, and I was not going to be left behind. I grabbed the horn of the saddle, and I held on with all my might. Do not fall off. Got out, and I was fine. And there was the one year that I showed up, and Granddad had bought me a brand new rope. He said, son, I got you a new rope. Well, a new rope is kind of stiff, tight. You got to work it down and get it to work a little bit better, but it was fun. And I'm roping sawhorses for a while till I get really good with it. And he puts me on a horse and said, she's going to shy when you try to rope. Well, now by shy to me meant that if I'm leaning over her right head and I'm reaching out to throw the rope, she's going to turn a little bit. I'm ready for that. But I'm sitting high in the saddle, in the stirrups, I should say, standing up, leaning my head right next to hers and throwing that rope at a calf, and I'm going to do it, and I throw a perfect loop. And she doesn't shy. She stops. I go right over her head and land in the very loop that I just threw. It hadn't been snapped up because she didn't back up and it was not connected to anything. I landed in the middle of the rope I had just thrown. And Granddad came over and said, boy, you just roped yourself. That's so funny. I didn't think it was funny. I was very embarrassed. He could not wait to get home and share that story. And every weekend, we would go to some nearby country fair. And they would often have a rodeo with it. Now, at that age, I was allowed to rope goats. I'd already been roping cattle, pulling them out of the thickets of East Texas. I'm not interested in roping a goat. And I could do barrel racing. But the girls also were barrel racing, and I was probably the long boy that was out there racing against the girls, and I would lose. They were good, and they had horses that were trained well for that. But I got no cow horse trying to get up and around those barracks quick enough without knocking them over. But there was one thing I thought I do want to do. And the summer came that I told Granddad, said, Granddad, I signed up to bull ride this year. He said, you can't do that, boy. You're not old enough. You got to be 16. And I said, Granddad, they said I could, and I just had a birthday. He said, I know you had a birthday, and you just turned 14. But at that time, nobody was checking IDs. I didn't have one to show anyway. I signed up, sure. Paid a little fee. I'd saved up money for that. I get to ride. Now, a bull ride is 8 seconds. It is the longest 8 seconds in your life. And at that time, you were being timed with someone with a stopwatch. It was no going through a barrier or a wire or anything that would set off a timer automatically. When that gate opened up, the timer started, and I'm telling you, you might only get 2 steps outside before you're off that bull. My bigger concern was falling down in the chute with the bull. I want to make sure that didn't happen. And I know that I had more 8-second rides than I got credit for. I know I did. The guy with the stop clock must have been looking away or chewing tobacco or something. Did I ever get hurt, you say? Can you not tell the way I am now that my head must be messed up? Actually, I never did. Thank God. And the other thing, my mom, to my knowledge, never knew it because Granddad had said, do not tell your mama. Well, I know Dad knew. And I know that Dad knew because 1 year, and I've still got kind of a clove hoof mark on the inside left ankle, I got stepped on pretty good by the ball. It split the seam of the boot right down from the top to the soles. I needed a new pair of boots. Granddad didn't have that kind of money, really. I don't know where Dad came up with it, but he said, I had to call him and said, I'll send it to Granddad, but when you get back, you're going to work it off. You're going to earn it back. Yes, sir. That takes me back to that yes, sir, no, sir. I taught my kids at a young age. I don't care if you're 10 or 12 years old. You start answering your teachers or your adults around you, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. Your esteem will grow rapidly in their eyes. But I told my dad, yes, sir, I'll work it off. So we got a new pair of boots. So I'm out riding again. So I didn't ever really get hurt. There were a couple times a hoof would go right past my nose, throwing dirt into my face. But by grace of God, I wasn't really hurt, except for that one time I got stepped on, and I limped around for a little bit, but I was not going to act like I was really hurt. But one thing about Granddad I never understood. He was a guy who could go out, rope cattle. I've seen him, you know, dealing with them in all kinds of situations. And he was upset with me in the beginning about I was going to be bull riding, but he decided, well, I guess you're just going to learn your lesson the hard way. I did it because I thought, well, the girls will like it. I mean, if the girls like it, look at me. I'm a bull rider. Now, these bulls they're Brahma bulls, but they're not what the PBR circuit has now. But they were a Brahma bull, and they did not want you on their back, period. They didn't know they were not on the PBR circuit. They wanted you off. That was it. So he let me learn that the hard way. But then he also taught me something else that has lasted with me for many, many years, and I still enjoy sharing that as the story behind the story continues.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So I hear an out-of-towner asking someone, where's the best place to eat? Before they could respond, I said, Cafe Napoli. Where? Well, I said, Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C, and then you got Napoli Kirkwood, plus you got Napoli Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. You'll find Napoli everywhere. It's not too early to book a party and buy gift cards. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
There were days when we would come back and put the horses in the corral, get them out of the trailer, wash them down, clean them up. Then we'd go have supper. We didn't call it dinner. We had supper. And then after supper, we'd sit outside on the screen porch. Granddad would be smoking his pipe. Grandma would bring out two bowls filled with snap peas for us to snap and split the peas out of the green beans, basically. And then she would sit down with her big legs, spread out her apron, and put a bunch of them in hers. And that's what we would do, is sit there and do that. But my granddad, the man who could rope and do all of this stuff, he, every time he picked up a green snap pea and went to snap it and trying to get the pea out, he's throwing them everywhere. They're going all over the floor. They're not anywhere near the bowl that's sitting in his lap. And you just continue to do that. And I'm thinking, why can't I do that? And grandmother went over one time. She'd say, Ab, just let me have it. I'll take it. So we'd hand her the bowl. And I'm sitting there like, my granddad can do so much, but he cannot handle green beans and put the pea out of it? I don't understand that. Now, I'd look over at him. He'd be relighting his pipe, drawing a few puffs, and just leaning back and rocking. Ah, it took me a while to understand what was going on, but he was a wise old man. Thank you, Granddad, for the memories and everything else, you and Grandma. I hope it rekindled some memories for you and your grandparents, our parents, and things for you to share with your children, our grandchildren. The story behind the story tomorrow, based in Houston. As a reporter, and I was going to do, quote, an undercover investigation of prostitution for high-end business people who would come into town. I got nailed as being maybe a pimp or maybe even a drug agent. You want to hear the rest of the story tomorrow. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. You and I might have something in common. Back pain. I can tell you where I go for help. Esquire Sports Medicine. The spine of St. Louis. They can put athletes back on the field, so they can clearly help us. Esquire Sports Medicine, hands-on chiropractic help on Big Bend, just north of Highway 40, 314-644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Great patio season to enjoy any of the Cafe Napoli locations. How about the Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield? Enjoying coal-fired pizza, nothing else like it. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. A few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, where you can enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys. Check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook for details. Plus, gift cards for friends. I'll see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com. Larry Connors here. Is your home ready for the chilly months ahead? Renewal by Anderson has a buy one, get one 50% off window event. And if you qualify, 18 months, no payments, zero interest. Not sure if it's the right time? Renewal makes it easy. No obligation, window inspection. Just find out what new windows might cost when you're ready. No pressure, no hassle. And remember, no one but Renewal by Anderson can offer Fibrex, the proprietary window frame material, 200% stronger than vinyl. Means durability, efficiency, beauty that lasts every season. What are you waiting for? Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com and get your consultation. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.